You truly never know what's out there in the woods, whether you're camping, hiking, or just taking a day drive. Be careful out there, guys, and stay sharp. Now, let's go into the deep woods. My name is John. I have always been an avid hiker and camper. Growing up, I was taught everything that you needed to know to survive in the woods. My father taught me how to shoot, hunt, and plenty of bushcraft. Recently, I had gotten into backpacking and really enjoyed it. I would try to go with friends, but most of the time I ventured solo so I could go at my own pace. After graduating college, I decided to go backpacking at a national park that I'd always wanted to go to, in the Sierras, none other than Yosemite. So, after telling family where I was going and getting everything I needed to survive out there for a few weeks, I made my way. It's about a 10-hour drive, but eventually I made it. And my God, was this place beautiful. After a few days of hiking, everything went smoothly and I even saw a few deer, got some really good fish, and was really enjoying the great outdoors. Things start getting weird after the first 5 days. Normally the sound of bugs and the little critters at night accompanied me. But there were moments where it was completely silent, like absolutely no sound at all. What kind of spooked me was that I would sometimes see weird lights in the distance. At the time, I thought they were other backpackers, but it didn't look like normal lights from flashlights, more like orbs of light moving around. Another few days passed, and I ran into another hiker. Her name was Sandy, and she was a pretty girl, 22, just like me. We made small talk, and she asked if she wanted to hike together, since we were going the same route. I agreed, and we spent a few days hiking together, as a matter of fact. At night during the campfire, I asked her if she saw any strange lights at night, and she said that she thought she did, but took it as a distant backpacker. I didn't press on about it, and just went on with the night. The next day, we went our separate ways since I decided to go back down to the lodge to stock up on supplies. I then made camp at the furthest campground near a family with a small child. This is where things got really, really weird. It was late. The family was going to bed, and I was hanging out by the campfire having myself a few beers. Later, the fire became basically embers. I didn't want to go to bed yet, so I was just sitting outside enjoying the peaceful sounds of the night. When suddenly, it went quiet again, that same eerie quietness as before. Then, I saw movement by the family's camp. I couldn't really tell due to distance and the dark, but I heard a zipper being undone. I made the decision to shine my flashlight near their campsite. Normally, this would have been rude, but something did not feel right, and I could have sworn that I saw a figure of something near their tent. It couldn't have been the parents, since I saw them go to bed with their children when my fire was dying down. Once my light got near the figure, I saw something big, like a bear, but it didn't look like a normal bear. Then, as I moved the light right on the tent, it had the child in its arm and darted out the campsite so fast, faster than anything that size could move. I was shocked, but I got my composure together really quick and blew my survival whistle. Tent lights began to turn on from nearby, and the family woke up in what I could tell was a panicked, "Where is he?" referring to the child. I yelled that something abducted him, and I joined them to go alert the park ranger. A search and rescue was immediately started. I don't know if they ever found the kid or not. All I did was give my side of the story, and once I was cleared, I went out on my travels. I mean, I was getting tired when this happened, so it could have been a bear. But the way that it had that kid in its arms, bears don't do that to people. I quickly left the area the following day, and though it was really hard for me, I hoped the best for the family. This next morning really creeped me out. Not to the point where I ended my trip, but really made me question if I should continue on. It was late dusk. I was fishing near a river, hoping to get a few fish for dinner. Then, in the corner of my eye, I saw across the river those same lights in the sky, closer this time. I gazed towards the river, and I shit you not, I saw what appeared to be two figures walking near the fire pit I made. They were skinny, about 7 feet tall, and had really big hands and making some sort of clicking sounds. I noped the hell out of there and decided I would camp somewhere else that night. Safe to say, I didn't sleep much that night. This is the last story I have of my trip that pretty much seals the deal for me. Out of all the weird things that I saw, this I can't explain. I ran into Sandy by sheer luck, asked her how she was, and if anything weird had happened since we went our separate ways. She said no and was kind of worried about my question, and asked me what did I mean by weird. I told her about the family with the missing child, and she had the face of someone who had just heard their family member got cancer. I didn't mention the entities by the river as I didn't want to frighten her. She said she and her friend Emily had been backpacking and were going to the top of some dome and asked if I wanted to join. I agreed, and we made our way to hike that day to the top of this dome peak. After a night of having a few drinks and good conversation, we all went to bed. In the middle of the night, I had to pee really bad, so I unzipped my tent. I got out and handled my business, and right as I made my way back, I saw Emily just standing by the cliff looking out. I asked her what the hell she was doing. It was so late. She didn't say anything, but I have to go. I told her, go where? It's late. You really should go to bed. And don't get too close to the edge. You're going to fall off. She only responded, I'm okay. Be back to bed soon. I found this whole conversation odd, but decided to just go back to bed. In the morning, I was awoken by Sandy. She was in a panicked tone and said, John, where's Emily? I said, she's not in her tent? Maybe she went to go look at the view. She was out last night doing that. But when we looked, she wasn't there. We could not find any trace of her friend. We looked for an hour in the woods nearby, calling her name, but no answer. We were about to call SOS when we came back to our campsite and we saw Emily, right by the same cliff that I saw her at last night. Sandy shouted, Emily, where did you go? We thought we lost you. Emily didn't respond. She looked like she was in a trance and began making her way closer to the edge of the cliff. Sandy said in a concerned voice, Emily, what are you doing? Get back here. You're going too close to the... Right as she was at the edge, she broke out of her trance and turned her head to Sandy and back to her feet in a look of confusion. Emily said, What? Why am I outside my tent? She took a step back and turned to make her way back to us. Sandy spoke. What are you talking about, Emily? But after Emily took the first step back to us, she... I can't explain it other than one moment she was making her initial step to go back to our campsite, and the next, she was flung straight into the air like a ragdoll by some unknown force. Emily screamed. Sandy screamed, Emily! I was in a state of shock, and then we heard a loud but distant thud. We didn't even bother grabbing the gear. I just grabbed Sandy's hand and told her, We need to leave now. Sandy was shocked. tears in her eyes, but I broke her out of her state of shock by telling her, "Run." She managed to put herself together and we ran. We ran for what felt like hours, but eventually we made it back to the lodge. The staff asked if everything was okay, and I just said in an in-and-out-of-breath tone, "Call the Rangers. Our friend fell off a cliff." It's been a few days since then. Sandy and I spoke to the Rangers and search and rescue personnel and told them where Emily had fallen. At first, they thought we could have had something to do with it, but given how far she had fallen off the cliff, or thrown, I should say, and us passing the polygraph test, we were cleared of suspicion. What was even more strange was the Rangers immediately dropping their investigation and began to call in the FBI. The sheriff sat me down and asked me simply,
"Son, what really happened out there?"
I couldn't hold it in any longer. I told him what really happened, and when he asked Sandy if this was true, she agreed. The sheriff took a long sigh and said,
"That's what I figured. No way anyone could have pushed her that far off the cliff, let alone other things we found."
I said, "What other things?" He only replied with,
"This is none of your concern. The FBI will take it over from here. I probably don't even need to tell you this, but I highly advised you to call the rest of your trip off."
We were let go and given a hotel for the night to stay at to gather our composure. But before leaving, I spoke to a search and rescue officer and I asked him if they had found Emily. He said that they did, but it was strange. Having fallen off the cliff, one would think they would find her body in such a way it was clear they had died from the fall. But he said that they found her body, but that her eyes and tongue were completely gone. That's all I could get out of him. The following day, Sandy and I exchanged contact info and went our separate ways. Before she left, she grabbed my hand and said, "I'm really glad I met you, John, and I'm sorry that our trip had to end this way, but I'm glad that we made it out alive. I won't forget you. Please, be safe." She gave me a hug, kissed my cheek, and got in her car and drove off. I since have been doing a lot of reading on missing persons cases, primarily missing 411, and realize that there is a surge of missing people in the national park, as well as others. The incident with Emily is very similar to a few cases I have come across. I do still hike and backpack. Sometimes Sandy joins me too, though even to my new perspective and safety measures, the way Emily was flung off that cliff in Yosemite, I don't think I will ever go back. Most people in my town think I'm crazy, but the following story is true. My friend let me use their Reddit account to post this. She wanted to help me spread awareness about this damned thing from hell I encountered a while back. She told me writing this out would help too. I remember it well enough. I could still see it in my head. It wasn't an animal. It wasn't even human. While I was driving through the woods to get home quicker one night, the dang car suddenly sputtered then stopped. The headlights and radio gave out too. It wouldn't start. And I sat there in the dark, cussing out my frustration. Regardless, I turned on my phone's flashlight. I got out and checked under the hood. While doing that, I heard bugs singing and I smelt the smell of wet wood and grass. It was warm, but not too bad. It must have been some time before I jumped a bit. I heard a twig snap somewhere beside me. The more twig snapping, and more twig snapping. Snap, snap, snap. And some leaves cracking. Crack, crack, crack. Slow movements. Whatever's moving. I turned around and watched out. Here and there, like a sharp-eyed eagle. I checked here and there, trying to see it. It got louder and louder. Another twig snapped, and I jumped. I looked around. My hair stood up on every angle. I didn't like that. I didn't see much except trees, bushes, and grass, but the snapping and cracking was too much. Tensed up, I gave a holler. I said, "I have a gun!" But that was a lie. I didn't have a gun, but I figured I might want to scare off whatever it was. "I don't scare easy," I said. "I got a gun with me. Concealed carry. You hear me? A gun." Probably gave that same holler twice or thereabouts. I was in the woods, and I figured it was a damn bear or bobcat, maybe a deer. The woods tend to have a load of activity at night. Mother Nature never went to bed. Then, whatever snapped and cracked stopped doing that. For a while. After cussing out the car, I returned to the driver's seat, called my wife. She didn't drive.
"You sure the car died?"
she asked. "Yeah," I mumbled. "Dang thing gave up."
"I'll call the sheriff,"
she promised me.
"Where are you?"
But I didn't answer.
"Ray,"
my wife said again.
"Ray."
She went on and on.
"Ray."
But I didn't answer her because I swear I saw something in the corner of my eye. I don't know what the hell it was, but I stayed in the car. I flashed my light, my phone disconnected by then. Something was coming closer and closer to the car. For some reason, I just sat there. I couldn't move. It's like time froze still. I set my flashlight on it, thinking it was some animal. Only, it wasn't. It's not Bigfoot. Not even human. I remember seeing it through the passenger side window. This thing had long spider legs. Long and bendy and hairy. But I counted four of them. No ears. Yellow glowing eyes. A flapjack face with no nose and this sick, sick grin. Ear-to-ear kind of grin. It moved its legs one at a time like a slow spider while it grinned at me. My hands were shaking and I fumbled with the keys. It wouldn't start. The damn thing wouldn't start. And the thing outside, it was getting closer towards me. Every second made my heart come out of my chest. For a minute, I thought that I couldn't breathe. Then fight or flight took over, and I chose flight. I fumbled with my door until it opened. The thing stopped reaching and stared at me. I started running. I heard the worst cry from the depths of hell, and I heard something like metal being scratched up. Heard screaming, too. I didn't give a dang thought about it and just ran for my life. Must have been pale like a ghost. I wanted to live. I heard more twigs snapping around me and I thought my heart would explode. Sweat drenched my brow and I began thinking about my life. I wasn't ready to die that night. I've been an honest man all my life. Good and kind and helpful. I'm not going to die like a dang dog, I kept saying. This went on and on. I wasn't sure if it followed me some parts of the way. I kept thinking, I survived. Did the story end here? Looking back, I wish it did. I must have ran 1 or 2 miles or thereabouts on that dirt road. I remember making a turn until I tripped. Took me a minute to realize I was in an open field just outside the woods. No houses for a few miles around. Just trees a half mile away ahead. The full moon was shining by then. It was so quiet I could hear the bugs singing again. After listening for some behind rustling or a scream from hell, Nothing, thank God. Relieved, I reached for my phone, but it wasn't there. I never cussed so hard. I must have dropped it near the car. As I got to my feet and started walking, I had goosebumps because I caught the feeling it wasn't over. All of a sudden, it got too dang quiet. No bugs were singing, no wind. Just my breathing heavy and my shoes crushing dirt and grass. I walked faster and started singing to calm my dang nerves. All the while, I felt like I was being watched. To comfort myself, I started thinking since home wasn't far, I could just run over there. I don't know what I was thinking next. Something hard tackled me from behind. It took me a minute to realize the dang thing from hell came back. It had stretched its neck like a dang snake. It faced me straight on. Now in the open, with the moon shining, I could tell it was heavier than me. It was sitting on my legs, numbing them. It must have been 200 pounds or thereabouts. I swear I took a deep crap as I stared at it back. I was stuck. I was screaming inside. I tried the move, but those danged eyes. I remembered how its eyes glowed, all yellow and shiny on its flat face. It looked at me like it was all over me. A danged fly caught in a spider's web. It shone me a sick ear-to-ear grin. In that moment, I thought I just crapped my pants again. I couldn't move. My heart was pounding like crazy. All the feeling in my legs gave out. The thing then used its long hairy arms to press me down. It felt like ice for some reason. Suddenly, next thing I remember was feeling the thing grabbing me by the legs. Cold, prickly feelings those fingers gave like damn needles. The world seemed to slow down for me after that. I felt the hard rock and dirt scraping my back. I tried kicking and grabbing grass, anything. I kicked at it, and it scratched me somewhere. I soon felt something wet and sticky in my stomach, and I hollered out. It hurt like hell. I thought I would pass out at any moment. Dang thing's hold nearly cut off my circulation. Tears came down. I never felt so dang useless in my life. It kept dragging me through my back. I saw the trees again. They were blocking the stars. After fighting the pain, I finally screamed out until my throat hurt and I couldn't scream no more. I remember thinking, this is it. Just when I gave up, I heard something familiar. An engine. Dirt rolling. A car. The headlights distracted the dang thing. The car honked and honked, and the dang thing screamed at it, echoing in the woods. It hurt my ears. The thing finally let me go and ran off somewhere. I was a lucky man that night. Looking back, I remember telling my wife and friends. Hell, even the sheriff about the dang thing. The doctor. I even thanked the driver who saved me. I told the other town folks. No one believed me except my wife, me and him. My friend, who runs this Reddit account, took a while to believe this too. Everybody else figures it was a damn bear. Since that night, I stopped taking that dirt road. I drove on the main road instead. I still see that dirt road every day driving by it. Occasionally, I wonder about that thing, what it's up to. Glad I never saw it again. Glad I'm still alive. Still shook up every time I think about it. I swear if that car hadn't come in time, it would have been a lot worse. I still got the scar that runs across my stomach like I got slashed by a knife. It took a while for my legs to get better too, but not too bad now. Take my advice. Getting stuck on the main road? Deal with it. Don't take dirt roads through the woods for shortcuts, especially in my town. That thing might still be out there, waiting